Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Good afternoon and welcome to Engage for Success, radio show number 505, a new approach to team building exercises. Today, we're going to be talking about why you should ditch the word icebreaker. I'm Jo Dodds, your host for today. I'm an engagement consultant working within the Engage for Success core team. The Engage for Success movement is an inclusive movement committed to the idea that there is a better way to work by releasing more of the capability and potential of people at work. We spread the word about employee engagement and shine a light on good practice, inspiring people and workplaces to thrive. And we're widely supported across the UK, involving the public, private and third sectors. If you go to our website, engageforsuccess.org, you can use the link at the bottom of the page to join our newsletter list, and all our social media links are there too. My guest today is Aaron Batesta of LaughterSize. Welcome, Aaron. Thanks for joining me.
Hi. Yeah, great to be here, Jo.
Lovely. So tell us a bit about who you are and who LaughterSize are and what you do.
Yeah, great. So my name's Aaron. Hi, everyone. I run a business called LaughterSize, and we've been doing it for 3 years now. We're all about creating beaming smiles and belly laughter, and we deliver team building activities for organisations in corporate, third sector, NHS, and for hen parties. And we just get people playing activities and games that just create a load of natural laughter and smiles.
Lovely. I'm intrigued that you go across corporate and hen parties.
Yeah, it's very different, but it's the same. Technically, hen parties are team building because you're building a team ahead of the wedding. That's the way you look at it anyway. And it's just same, everyone being playful and having games and just having a laugh.
Yes. Of course, the natural question is why you didn't mention stag parties.
Well, maybe in the future, but we're targeting hen parties just because we've gone into it, and maybe for the future.
Yeah, well, a recent stag party that happened in my group of friends was younger men basically, and they went to a big old house with hot tub and everything else, didn't leave the house for the whole weekend. It sounded to me like very much like a hen party rather than the usual stag party. So you never know, there might be an opportunity now. The world's changing.
We should have been there.
exactly. Lovely. So let's talk a bit then about team building. We said we're going to talk about ditching the word icebreaker. I mean, you know, lots of companies do have team building activities. They have conferences and they either bring people in or they run things themselves. And I mean, I've run things myself as well. And, you know, you start quite often with an icebreaker and then everyone groans and the challenge is on to actually get them engaged and actually doing whatever it is you want them to do, rather than sitting there trying to avoid getting involved. So tell us why you think people find these things so cringy, so sort of difficult to join in with at times.
Okay, well, that's a bit of an intro. Like, we've all been there, like walked into a team meeting and we're confronted with someone saying something like this: okay, let's start with an icebreaker. And then everyone starts cringing, like you've just said, and they follow it up with, let's all write down three really interesting facts about ourselves. Two are going to be true and one's going to be false. And then we have to guess which facts are true and false. And it's going to be really fun. And then everyone just looks at each other with a kind of groan inside and starts cringing. And it happens a lot. And what I want to talk through why we feel it happens. But we did a bit of research, and a high percentage of people who we researched just have dread and anxiety towards icebreakers and the unoriginal and uncomfortable activities usually used. So we asked 34 people, if you were told that an upcoming meeting was starting with an icebreaker, describing three words, how you would feel about it. And I think there was 102 words received in total. And I think over 80 of them were negative. And the most used words were nervous, disengaged, anxious, panicked. And it just points to ditching the word icebreaker for a start. So that's my number one job today, to convince your listeners to never use the word again. Ban it.
and why particularly ban it? Because I don't think you're going to tell me that we're not going to do them. We're just not going to call it that. Is that what you're going to tell us?
Yeah, start with that. So the word icebreaker has been around. I mean, I haven't gone into the scientific research of when it first was used as a word, but it's been around for a long time. And it's to do with the usual activities that come with icebreakers. And, you know, the word icebreaker is synonymous with the 90s. It's like, you know, a baggy shirt and an awful tie. And you remember The Office, the program The Office with David Brent, and there was an episode where they did like a team building activity about carrying a chicken and a, you know, the farmer was carrying a chicken and a fox, and they had to work out how it was. And it was just, it was abysmal. And it just shows that's what icebreakers, what people think about them. And, you know, if Mr. Bean was a manager, he would be using the word icebreaker. And I just feel you should start by using a different word. So I would recommend the word energizer. Okay, so that sounds a bit better, and that's the key goal when you do a icebreaker, is to energize at the start of a meeting or team away day. So why don't we go with energizer?
I think that sounds like a good plan. So what are we saying that is then? Because already, as you say, saying energizer rather than icebreaker puts a different spin on what's going to happen and how you might feel as a result of it, especially given what you said about your research. So What is an energizer?
Well, it just changes everything. So if you hear the word energizer, you're obviously going to instinctively think, well, it's going to create energy rather than take away energy. So there's a game, and I've mentioned it, where two truths, one lie. Mm-hmm. It is the most popular game that is recommended on resources on Google and YouTube. It's been around for ages, and that's an example of an activity that doesn't go down always that well. So I'll talk through some of the great energizers, but what we've done and we've tried and tested. But if you type icebreaker games into Google, I know a lot of people will be driving, so don't do it as you're driving. But if you type icebreaker games, there are the top two ranking blogs are called something like 59 icebreakers that your team won't find cheesy, and 70 fun, not cheesy icebreaker games your team will enjoy. And when we were doing our research, just looking at thinking, 59, 70, like who has the time to sift through 70 examples? Because even if you took 30 seconds for each one, that's 70 times 30, which is something like 30 minutes. Like what leader, HR manager or LD manager's time for that? You know, can you imagine going into a car dealership and saying, you know, I'm looking for a great car for, you know, motorway driving, and the car dealer goes, great, let me just show you 70 cars that I think are good. You know, what would you think? I think he's not an expert if he can't get it down to two or three. So that's why you go and see an expert, to get their expert opinion. Now, the trouble with icebreaker resources on Google and YouTube as well is predominantly they're written by team building experts, and they're written by marketeers, and they wouldn't have facilitated the 70 games that they're listing. And I'm by no means having a pop at these people or businesses, because they're ranking number one on Google. It's very hard to do that. And I know we were talking about how you focus on that, Joey. It's very, very difficult. And the ranking for icebreaker games, which is gets something like 30,000 searches a month. So icebreaker games on Google gets 30,000 searches a month. So it's something that we're all searching for. And they've achieved the goal. The blog they've written is pulling in a huge amount of traffic to the website. And all I would say is be very mindful when searching on Google, as the high ranking articles are not always written by an expert in that field. They're written by an expert marketeer. Well, anyway, I'll pull back to what we were talking about. Like, we've sifted through all the examples on the top ranking blogs, and most of them are, in fact, like really cheesy and not particularly laugh your head off fun. And, you know, we've got that research to back that up. And yeah, the two truths, one lie games comes up all the time, and people talk about it uncomfortable. It takes ages for people to do, especially if someone's waffling on, and it forces people to talk about themselves. So yeah, that's a lot of the research that we've been doing.
And how much of it is about the activity, and how much is it about the people running it?
Wow. It's really interesting, because that's one of the main reasons why people find them cringy, is because the person facilitating the icebreaker game or team building activity or energizer, let's use energizer, they're not experts. You know, your people listening who would have run them before, it's not on that your KR is to be an expert icebreaker facilitator or team building facilitator. You've got 99 other things that you're doing on a daily basis that are more important. And when you search for icebreaker games or team building activities, you're doing it once or twice a year for 10 minutes at a time. So people who are going to run the icebreaker activities or team building activities in-house are not going to be expert. And it's not a bad thing. And then I've already spoke about the fact that, well, you'll turn to Google and you'll type in icebreaker games and then all these resources will come up. And it's really difficult because they're not that good. And you've got to really do a lot of digging. You've got to read yourself, read into it and pick out an activity. Now, we've got a few resources that I can talk through them that we've got boiled it down to like maybe six or seven that you can pick that are tried and tested.
Mm-hmm. That would be lovely.
Yeah, so we've produced a resource for six activities. It's called Unusual Team Building Activities. And they are unusual. So most of them you wouldn't have heard of. And they're unusual because they're not the usual types of activities that you'll probably find on the resources. And there's six. There's not 70 because we've facilitated these activities with hundreds of teams and thousands of people. And they're proven because it's hundreds of people and they've spoken, they've said, we really like these and we've gone away and worked on them and made them better. And there's one that involves putting a paper plate on your head and you attempt to draw something on it. So the facilitator would say, right, you need to draw a Christmas tree if it's Christmas, or a smiling customer if you're talking about customer service. And you've got to imagine if you've got a paper plate on your head and you're drawing on it, it's really difficult and the pictures are really bad. So everyone's chuckling at each other's picture. And what that activity is really good because it doesn't require people to talk about themselves. It doesn't require individual performance. It's everyone's doing it at the same time and everyone's having fun at the same time. So it's inherently energizing because you don't have all that negative effect. And it's quite simple to do. It's simple to facilitate, and you can get through it in 5 minutes, and then you've got it's funny.
Yes. I can imagine. So yeah, so everyone's individually drawing on their own plate on their own head.
Yeah. So you can pick whatever you want to draw, and everyone has to draw it at the same time. So you'd give them 1 minute to draw a Christmas tree or a car or a smiley face, and then they've got to write the name at the bottom. That's a good thing to do because the names come out awful, or the name of your business, that comes out awful as well. Give them a minute and then they have to take it down and everyone laughs about it, and you can put them up. And then as a facilitator, you can pick out a couple of people that you know would feel comfortable being kind of picked on in that situation and having a laugh about their picture. Yeah. And if anyone wants to kind of get involved individually and start talking about their picture, then they can. But it's just one of those where everyone just does it together.
Yes. Yeah. No, I can see that. And I think, as you say, the principles of something that everyone's doing at the same time. And as you say, people aren't having to think about or haven't got to share things about themselves in that moment as well.
You know, yeah, exactly. From the research, people have been telling us that they don't like activities where it forces people to individually perform or people to be looking at them. So that two truths, one lie game, everyone has to talk individually about themselves, which is also a real kind of negative, is because people don't like talking about themselves in a personal manner. Well, some people, a lot of people don't, when they don't feel fully comfortable with those people. So let's say you've got your full team and your full team is at 30 people. Well, you're going to get a couple of people who don't really know each other or they don't really talk to each other often. They'll say hello to each other and there might be in a few meetings every now and again, but they won't know each other personally. So then to put them on the spot, introverts don't like that. If you've got a group of 30 people, it's guaranteed that five or six of them are going to be quite introverted. So you don't want to be picking an activity that forces people to perform individually. You want to do it as a group activity. So all those, and I can share the resources you can list it on the website, is the six activities that we've listed are where everyone's doing it together. Mm-hmm. And it's what's really easy, good as well, is if you're facilitating an energizer or a team building activity, it's a hard thing to do. And it's easier and less nerve-wracking to facilitate it where everyone's doing it together, and there's no awkward silences.
Yes. Yeah. Lovely. Okay, so I can see that one. What others do you want to share on here?
Well,
you can put the resource on the website, but tell us more.
There's some on there that are quite hard to explain when you can't see them, but there's one. If your team are up for some wild fun and the competitive, which, I mean, we've worked with NHS teams, charity teams, Amazon, and every one of them, when we get them in a competitive zone, they go wild for it. There's no team we've ever seen that aren't competitive. We've got a game, it's called Head, Shoulders, Knees Cup, and you get everyone to face another person. So each person is facing another person, and there's a cup in the middle of them on a table or on a chair, paper cup, get them from Asda, pound for 10. And the facilitator would say head, shoulders, knees, and the people competing would have to do what they say. And as soon as the facilitator shouts cup, the first person to grab the cup out of each two pairings, they're facing off each other, first person to grab the cup wins the game.
Okay.
And it gets really wild. And the cups get slightly damaged. Well, that's fine. And there's videos on our website of it, and it's absolutely brilliant. We play it with every team we do a session with, and everyone loves it. And as a facilitator, it's a great game to facilitate, because you've got everyone in that zone of competitiveness and fun, and you're just shouting out head, shoulders, knees, cup. I mean, what's hard about that?
Yeah. I just come back from a few weeks of a camping holiday where we have lots of activities in a marquee, and I'm thinking that's one of the ones we should implement.
Do it. It's really fun.
I'm actually currently looking at a rather large stuffed dog that was given to my daughter's friend that was from a game in the marquee where you had to pass it around, a bit like pass the parcel, and when the music stopped, whoever had the dog had to do a forfeit. So you can see how the that game will fit in nicely. So yeah, sorry, tell me more about that, the game. I think you were about to finish off on that one.
No, I was just going to say we play it with children as well. So most children from the age of 7 or 8, if you go any younger, you're going to get a few tantrums, but we play it with all ages, and it's a great game. You cannot go wrong with it. Like I said, it's not sounding arrogant or right, but we've played these six games with thousands of people, and from that you get a really good sense of what works, and you keep improving. And when we go in to facilitate these sessions, and it's quite nerve-wracking, it's hard to be in front of people. And what we've done is we've tried to make our activities so easy to facilitate that it takes away all those nerves. So, you know, all the people listening and you're thinking about, you know, an away day or facilitating something like this, it's not a nice thing always to think about. So you want to make it as simple as possible. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, if there's something tried and tested, then I really want to help you get to that, rather than going on Google, finding 70 things, and you've got to pick through it, and you've got no idea if your team are going to like this or not. And what I'm saying is that they're going to like these games. It's highly unlikely that they're not.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it sounds like it. Another one.
Here we go. We're listening more. So it's called pencil pouting and pencil pushes. And you get a load of pencils, and everyone's got a pencil, and you've got to put it in between your nose and your mouth. So you imagine pouting, you've got to do your pout to hold that pencil in. And you split your team. So let's say you've got a team of 20, you split them into teams of 10. And all you need for this game is, I don't know, you get about 40 or 50 pencils. You might already have them in your office. And you need two, if you've got two teams, you need two bottles of like water with enough space for a pencil to fall into, if that makes sense. So you place the cups on a table, you get your teams lined up, and each team member has got to drop their pencil in the cup while holding it, you know, the pencil, holding it in between the nose and the mouth. So they've got to bend over. Imagine if you're holding it and then you put it in the cup, and it's the first team to win. So all these activities as well, you can almost get from your office, like paper plates and your pencils and all the really cheap to do. And that game, I mean, imagine people's faces as you do it, and the pictures that we've got of teams doing it, it's just brilliant.
Sounds good. So let's talk a bit more about why these sorts of activities are important. And I mean, we talked about energizing before a meeting, but some people or some organizations have team building half days or days or whatever, where there isn't like the meeting. It's a load of this sort of stuff. And you know, not much of the work stuff. Why is it important for organizations to do this? Because some people just say it's, you know, waste of time, bit of a jolly. Why would we be doing it?
Yeah, it's really hard to measure. And I used to work for Asda in George, and I used to look after conferences and meetings. And it was so difficult to measure the impact of a conference and where you're getting people feeling great about work and connecting with each other. It's almost impossible to measure. And obviously, directors and CEOs love to have measurements in front of them. And there's a really good quote. I think it's from Maya Angelou. I can't remember her name. It's like something people will forget what you say, forget what you do, but they'll never forget how you make them feel. And when it comes to any team building activity where, you know, you've got a team away day and you have something in it, it's all about the feeling. And that's why these activities are important. And the tricky thing is how you measure the impact of them. But the best way is just to see how many smiles and laughs that you can create. And that's how we measure ourselves, is how many smiles and laughs can you create? And yeah, just a chance for them to de-stress, re-energize and connect outside of normal work activities. And
what would you say to the people who don't like doing these sorts of group exercises? Because we've said, you know, the sort of icebreaker bit where everyone, you know, heart sinks and they're, you know, maybe a bit more introverted and they don't want to share things about themselves. But what about the people who don't really like doing, you know, energetic sort of games, if you like, with other people? And there must be some of them.
Yeah, definitely. There's a percentage of every group. So we've worked very hard to make sure our sessions are fully enjoyable by as many people as possible. So if we did a session for 100 people, there's going to be probably 10 people that are going to, I won't say enjoy it as less as the rest, but it's going to be harder to get them engaged with. And when we first started, we did a lot of laughter yoga. Now, some people may have heard about it, where you get people laughing for kind of no reason, you do the sounds. Now, we found very quickly that quite a few people found that uncomfortable and a little bit cringy. So we came away from that a little bit to try and put games and activities into our sessions that create a lot of natural laughter. And the 10% of people who are the more introvert people, it's as, I suppose, as enjoyable as it can be for those people. Because I suppose with any team building activity where you go paintball or go-karting or doing a crafty thing or going to an escape rooms, it's never, ever going to be everyone's cup of tea. That activity is going to be perfect for everyone. And if you think if you aim for a perfection that is going to be great for everyone every time, it's never going to happen. So we've designed our sessions to try and be as fully enjoyable for as many people as possible. And I suppose what I'd say to the people who maybe kind of turn the nose up at trying to get into something like a team building activity is just try and do it. Go with an open mind. And I suppose it's more important as facilitators, people listening, is to make it as good as possible so people don't feel uncomfortable.
Absolutely. So what about some sort of final tips for facilitators? I mean, obviously you go into organizations and run these sessions, but you know, you're providing a resource for people to be able to run them themselves. What sort of tips have you got for facilitators? Because that I think, you know, the best exercise in the world, if it's facilitated badly, is not going to work very well, is it?
Yeah. Okay, tips. If you're going to facilitate your own team building activity, pick something different. Be brave. Don't just pick something that everyone would have probably done before or heard about. You've got to get out there and do something different and make sure that you keep it short and sweet. The reason why a lot of people find it cringy is because there's awkward silences where the facilitator's talking through the activity and taking 10 minutes to explain it. And then there's a bit of setup here and there where the facilitator's getting things out and moving things around while everyone's just standing around thinking, what are we doing? How awkward is this going to be? Am I going to want to be sticking my own mouth? So you want to plan it all, get it ready. So if you're doing the paper plate activity, you get the paper plates on the table, one per person, get the pens ready, one per person. If you're going to do the pencil pouting game, you get the pencils ready, get the cups ready, get it all ready, get some music on as well. That's a big thing. Get music on, it lifts everything. And what else? Try and talk for as little as possible. So when we facilitate sessions, we aim for 95% facilitation, 5% talking. You don't want to be talking. People don't want to be talked at when they're doing something like this. They just want to have fun. So I know it's hard when, like I've mentioned, you've all got a lot on where you care raising, not about icebreakers, not about team building activities. But if you just put, 20 to 30 minutes planning in to an activity and get it absolutely spot on, everyone is going to notice and thank you for it. And then when it comes to away day, so if you're planning an away day as a leader or you're doing it as a project manager, you've got three options when it comes to team building activities. Option one, do nothing, don't do an activity. Option two, do an activity that's facilitated in-house. Option three, hire a team building facilitator to deliver some form of activity. Now, at this point, you're probably thinking, hey, up here he is. He's trying to get our money, team builder facilitator, trying to sell his product. I'm really not, but actually it would be great if you book us. What I'm saying is this, don't pick option number one. Don't do nothing. Your team deserve something. You know, it's an away day. The clue is in the word away. It's away from normal, away from work. So don't be the option one kind of person. Picking option is meh, it's boring, and you won't get thanked for it. And we have a beautiful job of seeing people at their best on team away days and with our activities, because people are just loose and they let their hair down. And it's a wonderful thing. And if you think about the impact you want from an activity, it's going to connect your team to each other and to the business, and then do that from smiling and laughing together. And I mentioned about smiles, just get them smiling, have that as your goal, keep it simple.
Lovely. Thank you. That's a really good close to the show. So thank you, Aaron, for your time. You said that people could get the exercises. Is that on your website?
Yeah, I can send you the links. But if you go on Laughter Size, we've got a blog section. If you type in unusual team building activities, we should pop up on Google. And there's all stuff on our website on icebreakers/energizers. And all the games, all the videos of the games and instructions, how to specifically facilitate each of the activities. So I talked about spending 20 minutes of time. We've done that for you. It's all listed.
Lovely.
You're going to have some fun.
Brilliant. Thank you, Aaron. Thanks for your time today.
Great. Thanks, Joe.
And just to let you know, Jo Moffat's back next week and she's talking to Gary Moss of Gallagher.
Engage for Success Radio. Raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.